Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Biblical Truth Concerning the State of Israel. In this fifth part, Pastor John brings out that when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he already knew their descendants would get into idolatry, lose the promised land, and be taken into captivity. God's plan was not to give the Israelites a land in which to live and have a good time, but to make Israel a nation through which God could preserve his word and bring in the Messiah. God abandoned the 10 northern tribes because of their spiritual pollution and worked through a remnant of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. He raised up 4 major prophets out of Jerusalem to give solid teaching about the coming Messiah and how to live pleasing to God. Their writings did not focus on the land, but on the hearts of the people and how God would send the Messiah to fulfill the sacrificial laws and bring the Israelites and the Gentiles under a new covenant. This message is entitled Part 5A, The Prophets. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, February 8th, 2009. And today is going to be part number 5 of Biblical Truth Concerning the State of Israel. And today we're going to be talking about the prophets. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that again we can get into your word. And I ask you right now, Lord, that you will give us a revelation today. Give us a deep revelation from your word of God that will penetrate us, give us understanding, and helping us, Lord, to live in such a way that we shall be victorious and we shall be able to minister to people in this world. And I thank you now, and I praise you, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We are now looking at a time in Israel where the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom had been removed. They lost the land. And then 134 years later, Judah, Jerusalem fell, and the Jewish people went into captivity. As I prepare this message, I want you to think about this, that when we read these prophets, it was written 2,600 years ago. Most of the world at that time outside the Middle East were at Stone Age. In Europe, Scandinavia, it was a Stone Age. Over here in America, North and South, Stone Age. And when you read Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, it is written in such a way, intelligent, it is well spoken, and it shows that this is God speaking through men. If you look upon Hinduism, Hinduism is teaching that there is reincarnation. People have lived in a prior life, and all people living here on this earth are living here to be punished, and they cannot get out of their suffering. Hinduism is a religion of suffering, and the goal is to live in such a way that you can die, not have to be reincarnated again, and you go into what is called nirvana, which means you cease to exist, and you are sucked up into a God force in the universe. This is the devil's religion. He has many other religions. But here we have 4 men that came in a time of great trouble, financially, economically, the nations were destroyed. They were into it. Many have been taken captive and so on. And let's now look upon God's thinking. And I read to you from my outline. Once God judged the northern kingdom, he took away the part of the promised land. God never promised that the 10 northern tribes could come back to the promised land. Isaiah 55, 1 through 9. This is written now 2,600 years plus. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, here and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know is not, and nations that knew you not shall run unto you because of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The generation that lived at this time in northern Israel, they were concerned about their daily living, going to the different temples, idolatry, and living a sinful life. As they had done that for hundreds of years, God simply said this, I'm done with you. I'm not going to look upon the land in the north anymore. I'm not going to bring you back. You are done. You are finished. The 10 northern tribes were never restored. They were mixed in marriages. The offspring that came back were called Samaritans. But God never had a prophet to the north again. He never said to the 10 northern tribes, I'm going to bring again. He simply said, I am finished with you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. This is something that we really should look upon ourselves. That if we go in rebellion, there will come a time when God says, fine, keep on going. I will not call upon you anymore. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 20, we read this. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even a remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though your people of Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet the remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. God said here to Isaiah, 2,600 years, that even if your people be like the sand or the sea or the beach. Only a remnant, a small portion, will I save. Notice here now that God is not saying now, I'm going to do a restoration of the land. He's talking about a restoration of people. The Apostle Paul, writing some 700 years after Isaiah, fully understood that only a remnant of Israel in the end times would accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah and be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans, the 9th chapter. And we pick it up in verse number 24. Even us, whom he has called not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he says also in Isaiah, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and their beloved, which was not my beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. He's talking about the Gentiles now. God has called the Gentiles in. I see also Christ concerning Israel. Do the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Paul now and Isaiah are not referring to the time that we're in now. They're referring to the time when Jesus is going to come back to this earth. When Jesus is going to come back, there's going to be a remnant saved of Israel. Of all the 12 tribes that have lived over the centuries, they have not received Jesus the Messiah. They died in their sins. They went to hell. And they will go to the lake of fire. There's going to be a remnant saved. And we need to be giving the gospel to the Jewish people. Let me again read from your outline now. God abandoned the 10 northern tribes. As we look at the time when the promised land was lost, it is obvious that God gave up on the 10 northern tribes and focused on Judah and Benjamin. They were both called Jews since they lived in the land of Judah. The Apostle Paul, who was from the tribe of Benjamin, you find in Romans 11:1, wrote that when the people rejected God's truth, he would turn them over to a reprobate mind. Let's turn to Romans 1, and you pick it up in verse number 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of their incorruptible God to the image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, We change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, in verse 28, we read this. And even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. As long as you are convicted over your sins, as long as you feel bad when you sin, the Holy Spirit is working with you. What does it mean to have a reprobate mind? To have a reprobate mind is when you can sin, you don't feel no guilt over it, no condemnation. You feel good, and you simply feel, you know, I'm just doing fine. Then that person, God has given up. But as long as you cannot get away from your sins, and you feel in your heart it is not right, that you have a longing to come back to God, to repent and to seek His face, He has not given you a reprobate mind. The Holy Spirit is still working with you. And even as they did not like to retain God of their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'm sure that you know people that are like this, described in verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. The ten northern tribes, God simply said, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to take the two southern tribes and work with them. In looking at the lineup of God's prophets, it is clear that God has given up on the ten northern tribes. Now, I've been preaching the gospel since 1967. I have never before in my life studied Israel like I'm studied now on these five parts that we come to today. I had never seen the prophets in this way. And this week I was actually going in a different direction. I was going to go show the development of the Jews from the Babylonian captivity down to the time of Christ. And as I sat down before the computer and I began to pray and got the Bible out, it was like the Holy Spirit just took a hand like this and just washed my brain out and said, the four prophets is where you start. I want you to get into the four prophets. And then the Holy Spirit showed me that God sent four men, not to the ten northern tribes, but to Judah and Benjamin. And why did He send them? He didn't send them for them to simply say, okay, now we're going to hang on to the land. We're going to talk about the land. He sent them to these tribes to show them how to live, how to repent, and what God wanted. Let's begin to look at Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the 6th chapter. These are men that we're going to meet in heaven one day. And then we can ask them, you know, a little bit more details. Isaiah operated out of the southern kingdom's capital, Jerusalem. Notice now, God never had a major prophet out of Samaria in the north. That was the capital of Israel. But he had him in Jerusalem. And he began his ministry in 783 when King Uzziah reigned. Isaiah 6, 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw to the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We sing that song. Above him stood his seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried at another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, and this I see on there, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Look at that verse now. 2,700 years ago. Israel at that time sacrifices all the time. Goats, sheep, cows, sacrifices, the priest in there. And now God comes to Isaiah and said, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to do it. This is a forerunning thought of the Messiah. It is not sacrifices, works we do. But we are saved by God through Christ Jesus and his righteousness. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah had a personal call from God. But listen to what God is telling Isaiah now. Go and tell his people, Hear you indeed, but understand not. And see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of his people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, The cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the house without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord has removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. We need to understand today that the Holy Spirit is not working in power today on this earth. We are having a small sprinkling. You and I, by grace, have received Christ. But you know when you go into the marketplace and you talk to people that the majority of the people have no desire to hear about Jesus Christ. They have no desire to hear about this coming of a judgment. They have no desire to hear anything of this. They simply say, don't tell us that. And you know the words they give us. They curse, they swear. And the reason is, look at this word now. God said, Make the heart of his people fat and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. God has abandoned the population on this earth at this time. And only if you and I will pray and say, Father God, please, in your mercy, increase the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you a bonus scripture right now. Turn with me to Matthew. The book of Matthew. We're going to drop down in chapter 13. That's Matthew chapter 13. The same day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, a great multitude were gathered again to him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things and in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And then you go down to verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. If you really think it through, when Jesus came to this earth, and when he went to his own people, the Jews, in Jerusalem, Galilee, and Judah, the majority of the Jewish people living in the time of Christ rejected him and died in their sins. Not even the Son of God himself could bring in a huge portion of the Jewish people. A fraction come in. Maybe 25,000 is what he estimates. But to them, it is not given. Do you understand that today, most people on this earth, it is not given to them to be saved? God has simply abandoned them, given them up to a reprobate mind. And the only hope they have is for you and I to intercede, to be fasting, praying, seeking God, intervening like Abraham did over Sodom and Gomorrah when he said, Oh God, if there are 50 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous, he pleaded. But you see, you and I have not understood how we need to pray and what is happening right now. Verse 12 it says, For whosoever has to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundantly, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeking see not, and hearing they hear not, neither understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. As I was awake a little bit last night, and I was praying and thinking, I realized what a grace, what a privilege to be born again. What a privilege to have the gift of repentance. Few people have it. You know, we have had people in this church, and I go back for 20 years. They were anointed. They spoke in tongues. They prayed for the sick. They sang. Something happened to them. And you know, it was brought out to me this week that the first thing that happened to a backslider is you stop singing. I remember some people, they were singing their hearts out. And then suddenly the songs got quiet. They didn't sing anymore. And they began to move from the front seats further and further back. And eventually slid out. You ask them today, do you read the Bible? No. How's your prayer life? I don't have time. I really don't pray. Do you want to serve God? Nah, you know, I've been there, done that. There's nothing worse than a believer in Christ who has tasted the goodness of God, had the Holy Spirit work in his life. They turn away. And when they turn away, they get cold and they get a heart of stone. It's hard to revive them. It's going to take a miracle of God. In this land, you have hundreds of thousands of preachers that no longer are preaching. They got a reprobate mind. There are scores of people that have been in churches. They no longer walk with God. The devil took them out. This is what we're up against. And now we have been praying for years. We're asking God for revival. But we got to understand that unless we move the hand of God, nothing will happen. I read in Charisma this week an article by a pastor. And he said this, that the revival in Florida that took place a year ago, my last year now, he said the problem was not Todd's marriage problems. The problem was the message. He said, how can anyone say this revival when somebody goes up and knees somebody in the stomach? Or they kick them. Or they do things. He said, we need discernment. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit moves upon people to repent. But people today are seeking signs and wonders. Miracles at any price. God is looking for repentance. For this people, the heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes are closed at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes. For they see and hear, for they hear. Let me ask you this. When you are fasting, are you praying for the lost? When you and I are praying, are we saying, Father God, please increase the power of your Holy Spirit. Convict people. Those that you know, are you praying for them? Or are we simply trying to ramrod the gospel through by the flesh or through the flesh? It has to be through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take it to Hebrews chapter 11 right now. I'm going back to my track. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to pick it up in verse number 32. Isaiah ministered for some 93 years. And he was murdered during the first years of King Manasseh. He was sown asunder according to Jewish historical traditions. The prophet Isaiah, a man of God, was laid out like a log you have on a support on a sawhorse. And then they killed him by taking a huge saw and simply sawing him asunder. You can imagine the pain when that saw was going through his body. He gave his life for God. In Hebrews 11, verse number 32, we read this. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Woman, we see the dead raised to life again, and those were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Isaiah died a horrible death. But he ministered. He finished. And Isaiah, there's no doubt in my mind, Isaiah is in heaven. He's walking around in heaven right now. And thanking God that 2,700 years, when most of the earth were living in a stone age, he was given a mind of God, the mind of Christ, right in the book of Isaiah, prophesying about the Messiah and giving light to the Jewish people. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7 there. Isaiah, the 7th chapter. And I want to pick it up in verse number 14 and 15. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Bread and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. 750 years before Christ, Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she shall conceive and call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. And then turn to chapter 9. If you pick it up in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish judgment, and with justice from henceforth ever forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I see us at now. A child is going to be born to us. We have read this, and particularly around Christmas time, we read this. But if you don't understand that this was a gospel given to the Jewish people at a time of turmoil. They lost their land. Everything was in pieces. And God said, there will be a Messiah in the land. I see it was to give an insight of the devil. If you turn to chapter 14, I'm just going to pick a few verses out here. That's Isaiah 14. And pick it up in verse number 12. How had you fallen from heaven to Lucifer, son of the morning? How you cut down to the ground with the weak of the nations? If you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell to the side of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this a man that made the earth to tremble, that it shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the city of the wrath, that opened not the house of his prisoners? This was written when men, scholars believed, the Stone Age people, they were praying to their stone gods and stuff like this. But the educated people at that time felt the Lord, the earth was flat. Here's God revealing to Isaiah about Lucifer. The book of Isaiah is a massive theological teaching that the people of Israel had never before heard. And the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed during the lifetime of Isaiah. Isaiah lived to see the north destroyed. Let's look upon Jeremiah now. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah. And we want to take a look at the first chapter. God raised up another prophet by the name of Jeremiah some 64 years after the death of Isaiah. Isaiah went to be with the Lord, 64 years of quiet. And then comes Jeremiah. And we read from verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Look at the time here now. 2,600 years ago. God is telling Jeremiah, before your mother got pregnant, I knew you. I have ordained you to be a prophet. Listen careful now. Before you that are here today were born, God knew you. Everyone listening to me right now, before you were born, God knew you. Before the creation of the earth, He designed you. He designed your body and said, this is how you're going to look. This is the amount of hair you're going to get. This is how long you're going to keep your hair. This is your color on your eyeballs. Everything was designed. He designed your soul. He put everything into you that are you. And He said, I'm going to put you in a certain time period that I will use you. Men and women, you are not duds. Man and a woman have the same value, the same possibilities. And God is simply saying this, I want to raise up a generation that will pray down my glory. That's what we need to do. We need to pray down God's glory, that people would be convicted of their sins. Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, say that I am a child, for you shall go to all I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. I'm going to ask you this question. You might not be a medical doctor, but you're out traveling in the countryside someday, and you come across an accident that happened. It would take a long time before an ambulance would be there or help. And there's a man laying there on his side, and he's bleeding, and he's hurt. And he says, can you help me? And he says, well, I'm not a doctor. I don't know nothing. And the guy will look at you and say, you are the best I have. I'm bleeding to death. Try to stop it. Use my shirt, whatever it is, try to stop it. You are his best shot. If you say, oh, well, I'm not qualified. I might get sued if I touch you, you know, and stuff like this, you know. I'm just going to use my cell phone and call, you know, and hope that they get to you before you bleed to death. He would die because you did not do what you could. You might not have a theological degree, and you don't need to have that to witness. You might not say, well, I'm a great speaker. You don't need that. All you need to do is to open your mouth and share from your life. This is what God has done in my life. Give your personal testimony. No one can argue with that. And share with them the glory of God. That's all God is asking. And then you can pray. You can also fast and seek the Lord. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am waiting to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. When you accepted Christ, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit came into your body and your spirit was reborn. Your soul was redeemed. And the Holy Spirit touched you. You have everything you need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. You and I here today have been given the world. Your prayers, our prayers together, our finances, our pooling things together through, if you look back in that sound booth, that crew is sitting there, are pushing out a message right now that goes to around the world. It can even be picked up on a space station in the space. It's available. But now, you see, we prayed first, oh God, give us the money to buy the equipment. So God has given us most of the money. We got the equipment. Then we says, oh, God, give us a people that can run this. And God has given us a people that can run this. Now we need to pray the next. Father God, have people turn on their computers, have them to be drawn to simply, without knowing it, go and say, I got to look at this. I got to go to this website. This is what we need next. We need now, the signal is out now, we got to pray and fast for God's Holy Spirit to move and open it up for people to hear and to see and to be saved. That's our next step. Resurrection life of Jesus Church. See, I have this day set you over the nations. We have people in New York. I want to say this to Eric and Patty. You are part of this. People living in Germany, people in Sweden that are watching us and working with us. You are part of this. See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. We have websites today in English, Swedish, Norwegian, German, and Spanish. We hope to get more. Those people that are watching me now or actually listening to me, whatever you are, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry about that, but you know what I'm talking about. You are a missionary. You are part of this work. But you see, now it will take us here in Sacramento, New York, Germany, Sweden, Belgium, Canada. We need to pray, to seek the Lord, to fast, and to say, God, Lord, we are now in the world. We have the tools. We are out there. But Father, open up the avenues for us. And then he says in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And you see, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I challenge you today. Do you think that God gave us these facilities, the equipment? You and I have been together. Some of us been together for 10 years, some for 20 years. Some of you are newcomers. We've been in this place for 3 years. Do you think that God put this together to simply say, well, I'm going to waste it? It's a purpose. But it's going to take you and me to fast, to pray, to press in, to say, God, please give these people a chance. You know this airline pilot that landed this plane a few weeks ago in the Hudson River? I didn't see everything, but I heard one little clip. And someone said to him, sir, when you were bringing down the plane, did you pray? And he said, no. I had others did that. And I thought about that man did not pray. But God, in his mercy, saved that plane and all the people on board. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you pray every day? Do you have a regular day a week when you fast? Are you disciplined? Are you simply just floating down a river? There are some of you here today, and I'm not going to give any names, but we prayed a long time for you. You might not know this, but year in and year out in prayer meeting on Tuesday nights and other times, we simply, oh God, touch so and so. God, open their hearts. We prayed, we cried. We fasted for you. And some people say, oh, it's impossible. That person is never going to turn around. And then you turned around. Do you understand that someone prayed and prayed and prayed for you a long time? Now my question is, who are you praying for? Are you saying now, I am going to pray for someone today? Jeremiah lived and operated out of Jerusalem, became a thorn in the sides of the kings. And the people, because he continually called for repentance. He suffered greatly because he was viewed as a traitor by the kings. And eventually he was imprisoned. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses in here. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard of Jeremiah prophesy these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in his stocks. They were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, "The Lord hath not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. For this is the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself, and to all your friends, that they should fall by the sword of your enemies. And your eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah to the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with a sword." To put this in understanding, it would be like I would simply go on nationwide television and say this: Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda are going to conquer America and rule America and destroy and take you all into captivity. How well do you think this will go over the Homeland Security? Jeremiah said this: "Look, Pastor, look, people, you sinned. God's going to judge this place. The king of Babylon is going to come. This place will be torn down." We need to tell people now, America will be destroyed unless God intervenes. Financially, we are heading into a disaster. There's going to be job losses like you and I cannot even dream of. Already right now, if you go to a restaurant, you will find out that restaurants used to be full. They have a few people here and there, and they're laying off. They have less and less people working there. We need to tell people things are not good. "And you, pastor, and all that dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall come to Babylon, and there you shall die, and you shall be buried there. You and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies." And he went on and on. Then Jeremiah went into a depression. And he simply said this. We pick it up in verse number 7. "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, hath prevailed. I am derision daily. Everyone mocks me." How many of us have not felt that we're being mocked? "For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention and nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard a defaming of many fear on every side. Reports that every will report. All my family watched for my halting, saying, prevent he may be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. We shall take our revenge on him." And then he says this in verse number 17. Verse 15. "Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be as a city which the Lord overthrew of repenting not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because they slew me not for the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and the womb be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." Jeremiah suffered greatly. He suffered a lot. And Jeremiah lived at the time when nothing went right. Eventually, the land was taken, people taken away, Jerusalem destroyed. God used Jeremiah to further reveal his truth. And he's given a revelation that the captivity of Jews in Babylon would last 70 years. Turn to Jeremiah 25:11. Jeremiah 25 and verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah was spared the Lord of the king of Babylon, but Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians, and the slaughter of the people began. And now that you read it yourself in Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 6 through 14. A group of rebellious Jews decided to flee to Egypt and take Jeremiah with them by force. Even though he prophesied against this venture, Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah, the 44th chapter. And you pick it up in verse 11. Therefore, this is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all of Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their face to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there. They shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration, an astonishment, and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I punish Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. A warning. This is where we're at right now. God has simply opened up His judgment over America. The stage is set for a total meltdown of this nation. What God has done now is simple this. He's holding His hand back a little bit and He says, "Maya, what will my church do?" I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about pastors across the nation. I'm talking pastors in Europe, Australia, and Canada, and all over the world. What are we going to do as pastors? Are we going to call to repentance? Or are we simply going to continue to entertain the people and run it as business as usual? I believe today that those of us that are here and those that are listening to my voice, we have America in our hands. How many people did Abraham say to God would be righteous to save Sodom and Gomorrah? 10. We are more than 10. Those that are with us outside his walls, we are more than 10. I believe that if you and I go home today and say this, things don't look too good. This week, we're going to set aside a day, 24 hours of fasting. I'm going to begin to pray differently right now. I believe that if we turn and pray and get serious, God will save us for another little season. But we are tied up. You know, we got so many things. There's so many programs to watch on the television. There's so many things to do, you know. We have so many possessions. If we lose our possessions, what will we have? Church. 1 week ago, I stood in this pulpit. I did not know if Ken West was going to be healed or not. And we stood here. And we prayed. And all of us agreed. And we said, "God, please heal Ken West for the stroke he had. Let him be restored again." We prayed that. Maybe around 12 o'clock Sunday morning. And by 6 o'clock, Ken West was back home again. Shipped out to the hospital. He couldn't find anything wrong with him. You understand that we got power in prayer. We can pray it. But we got to now to focus. We cannot run around and say, well, I'm going to be over here a little bit and over there a little bit. And so we need to focus. This is what I learned years ago. There's a lot of people. They give $10 to this mission, $10 to this mission, $20 here, a little bit here, a little bit there. And you know what happened? Your money is wasted. We need to focus with our finances, with our prayer, with our fasting into one place. This is what we are called to. We're not called right now to do some other work or feed the hungry, homeless, and so on. God's other people do not. This is what we are called to. Revival. An awakening. And the question is, will we respond? Jewish historical tradition tells us that Jeremiah was forcefully taken to Egypt and eventually stoned to death because he did not speak well of the Jews around him. Now, turn back to Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to be able to finish this message today, but I want to close with Matthew 13. There's too many things there to say, to learn. Matthew 13. And I'm going to reread again from verse number 10. And the disciple came and said to him, why do you speak unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore spake I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall understand, and see shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. I wish I could take you to hell for 15 minutes today. We could have a guided tour of hell. And when we would get down to that place, we would see the most awful things around us. And there were people that you and I know that died. And their hands would reach out to the flames with the shackles on them. And they would say, please help me out of this spot. Oh, talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus for me. They would cry and they would just give anything they could to get them out of there. And we would have to say, well, I can't get you out of here. Your mom and dad are not born again. You witnessed year in and year out. And you got to understand there is a missing piece here. And it's simple this. For this people's heart is back gross and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. They can't understand. They have been locked up. You have the key. The key is called prayer and fasting. It is not something we do and says, oh dear God, say mom and dad. Oh God, say my little sister over here. Oh God, say my child. Save this and that. It's going to take an intercession. When you simply say, God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until I have an answer in my heart. and I'm willing to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pour it on. But please, God, give them the gift of repentance. That's what they're going to take. And if you don't, they will die in their sins. And you will see them at a great white throne judgment. They will look at you in a bleacher, shackled, and says, "You know what? I was stupid. I didn't listen to you. I should have listened." And you will sit there and says, "Oh God, why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I fast more? Why didn't I focus more on the lost?" You and I are wasting so much time on other things except what is really important. And then I want to read verse 23 to you. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it." That's us. "Which also bears fruit and bring forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Jesus said there's going to be three categories of believers in Christ. Those that are 30%. Those that are 60%, those that are 100%. We're going to have them with us. You're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be a 30%? Are you going to be a 60? Are you going to be a 100%? Let me try to illustrate this for you. When I was in college, I had a severe arrested development spirit. I had a whole bunch of demons. Was not walking with God. And I failed miserably. And I had 2 years left of college to go. And I had bummed out so badly that they simply said this, we're going to take you out. You cannot continue in college. You're done. I had three subjects that I had not even a D. I had what was lower than that, the G, whatever it is. But I was at the bottom rung. Not because I couldn't study, not because I was stupid, but because I was lazy, I was not focused, and I had an arrested development spirit. God had intended for me to come to America. I could not have come unless I got my college degree. And then my mother interceded for me. She called the Department of Education in Stockholm. That's the capital of Sweden. And she had someone up there, was a friend that she had known from her job. And she pleaded with that man. She said, "Can you please use your influence to get my son back in college?" That man didn't know me from Adam. But because my mother had been good and he loved my mother, he said, "Here's what I will do. He's going to have to study all summer. And he's going to have to go and take special tests in these three subjects. And if he passes that, I will make him back into the system." I put him back in. So now I had 2.5 months to study what I had blown for 2 years. Now I had an uncle that was visiting from America. He's a Mormon by the chance. And he wanted to play chess with me every day. And I love to play chess. I said, "Oh, John, we just have another game. You got time to study, you know, just another game." And then my little wife would come up and said, "Uncle, get out. He needs to study." Somehow, I focused. I sat in the attic. That's what I studied. I sat there for hours and hours. And God helped me, and I studied and studied and studied. I knew I had to make this. Then I took the tests, and I had pulled A's on all three of them and got back into the system. What I'm trying to share with you is simply this. There came a time in my life when I knew this, either I pull or I'm a washout. it came a time when I had to push. And it paid off. And this is what I'm asking you today. Are you ready to push? To push like you never pushed before in your life. And say, this is something now. Time is off for playing. There's no more time for this stuff you're doing now. We're going to be in the Word. We're going to be fasting, praying. We're going to be seeking God. It doesn't mean that you don't eat and you work and stuff like this. But you focus on what you need to focus on. If we do that, we will have the victory. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, God, I prayed with you today. I prayed for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. They love you. They will not be here in this church. They have been born again. Many of them are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Father God, I'm asking you today, let your Holy Spirit fire fall in this building today. And every word of my voice is heard, let the fire fall. And God, like you did with Jeremiah, call them. Like you did with Isaiah. Who will go and who will I send? And Father God, give them the boldness, the power to say, send me. Oh God, today light the fire in the midst of us. No more basics, no more just running around. But let us be serious, seeking your face, O Lord. I'm backing off now. And Father, it's between you and your people. And those, Father, outside the walls, I pray there be a call upon them, Lord. Let them begin to weep right now, Lord. Around the world, whatever we are heard was seen. And let people fall to their knees and say, oh God, use me, fill me, mold me, and send me. And this I ask in Jesus' name. If you're not in this building, you happen to watch us, or even if you're listening later, call us and someone will pray with you. But right now, the Holy Spirit is asking men and women, will you surrender like you have never surrendered before. In Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. The elders are here. You come. And if you want just to go and pray, be on the side. We got our prayer altar there. You can just go down praying. No one will disturb you. But this is your chance to respond.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, You're nice to other people. You give money to charity. And you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fifth part in the series, Biblical Truth Concerning the State of Israel, and was entitled, The Prophets. Pastor John brought out that when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, He already knew their descendants would get into idolatry, lose the promised land, and be taken into captivity. God's plan was not to give the Israelites a land in which to live and have a good time, but to make Israel a nation through which God could preserve His word and bring in the Messiah. God abandoned the 10 northern tribes because of their spiritual pollution and worked through a remnant of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. He raised up 4 major prophets out of Jerusalem to give solid teaching about the coming Messiah and how to live pleasing to God. Their writings did not focus on the land, but on the hearts of the people. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1172. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.